meritassemblyonline.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we want to say thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. They are been a blessing to us and to our family. They've helped us with a number of projects through the years, and as a result of that project, they've become very advancing in the beautification of Merit Assembly of God. They've taken care of a number of projects there, and they've also done a number of things for other people that I know, and so they really do have a great skill set. If you are looking to beautify your outdoor space during the cooler part of the year here, before the growth season really kicks in, Treasure Your Landscape may be a great resource to call. They can bring their 20 years of experience in the landscaping business to your project with their, along with their full array of products that they have, from artificial turf and carefully designed putting greens, landscaping, paver installation, drains and downspout management. They know how to do the design, the planting, the maintenance, everything that is necessary, landscape lighting, water features, to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. The phone number for Treasure Your Landscape is 321-749-1432. They also have Space Coast Nursery. If you like to get your hands dirty, get down in there and do the work yourself, they, you can see all of the products that they have available at 3880 North Courtney Parkway, north of the Barge Canal, Merritt Island. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. They love Jesus, and they're friends of the Refresh radio program and friends of Bob. And so we are very thankful for their friendship and their service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today we're going to begin in Titus chapter 2. And Titus, this second chapter, Paul begins to talk to Titus about the various categories of people that he will encounter and how he should go about teaching them to be successful in the season of life that they are in. And as you look at this, what you might be surprised is a lot of this has to do with the heart of a disciple, not just the information that a disciple should have. You see, it's not just what goes on inside of our head. It is how we live our life on a day-to-day basis. So that's what we are going to begin looking at. We're going to be in verse number 1, and Paul begins to write to Titus about teaching others, who will be able to teach even others. And so it really does have a lot of practical aspects. You see, what was happening was Christianity was spreading in the Gentile world, and with that, there was a completely new moral code that was coming along with that. Up until that time, it was pretty much a freewheeling society. There was a lot of things that was that were normal in ungodly culture that were completely unacceptable to God in a Christian context. Now we see once again how our society is radically different apart from Christ than it is with Christ. And with that being the case, there needs to be somebody who steps up and says, this is how we should live as believers, as men, as women, as young people, as older people. We need to live the way that God would have us to live. So let's read the first five verses and we'll start into this. It says, but as for you, so he's writing to Titus, But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So as we begin to look at this, I'll just highlight the ultimate reason and the ultimate goal of why these things are important to be taught, and that is that we are supposed to live our lives in such a way that people will not speak evil about the Word of God, the God of His Word, or the people of God. There's a bumper sticker that I saw years ago. It said, I love God, it's His kids I can't stand. And we're not supposed to be a stumbling block to people. We are supposed to be people who live consistently with the Word of God. Now, I can tell you that there's a lot of people with a lot of different paradigms, a lot of things that they value. So we're going to go to the Word. We're going to go to Titus chapter 2, and we're going to look at the things that we are supposed to be teaching one another. So Paul starts off by telling Titus about his personal life. He said, "You speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And those are the things that we speak should line up with the things that we believe. So proper for sound doctrine means that we would share the things that are fitting. They fit right. So I've got a lot of clothes in my closet. There's a reason for those. I have a lot of different environments in which I function in. So if I'm doing manual labor, there's a section of clothes for manual labor. If I'm relaxing, there's a section for relaxing. If I'm just casual, there's that. If I'm getting dressed up, there's a section for that. There's short sleeves, there's long sleeves, and in all of those different categories are different sizes because my weight had fluctuated because I had not yet learned of what the little sneaky area of life that was causing my body to be overloaded with carbs was. Once I figured that out, then my body started, the size of my body started changing. So I pick out clothes that fit. There were some clothes that wouldn't fit a few months ago. They had evidently shrunk in the dryer because they just wouldn't fit anymore. But then my washing machine and my dryer started cooperating because now that I've lost about 20 pounds, they fit once again. And so what it is talking about, sound doctrine, it's talking about doctrine that fits the heart and the life of a believer who just doesn't have head knowledge about Jesus, but actually lives for the glory of God. And so if it's proper, it's fitting. If it's sound, that means that it's healthy. When was the last time you evaluated the things that you believe to see if they are healthy, if they promote health and well-being in you as a child of God? So there is a difference between cultural upbringing and biblical upbringing. I've talked to you a little bit about this before. I know a person, they're a great friend. They, you know, have done great things for God. There are some things in their background culturally that don't necessarily line up with where I am when it comes to certain biblical positions. And, you know, they you know, tease me about my cultural upbringing, but I know this. I'm from Oklahoma, and no, not everybody in Oklahoma rides a horse and wears a cowboy hat any more than the people from the Northeast live in a concrete jungle. I said, you know, when I went up there one time, I said, I was surprised to see how much, you know, how much area there was that was just really beautiful. And particularly it was about New Jersey. I had an uncle that lived in New Jersey. My wife had some relatives that lived in New Jersey. And we never even thought about, you know, what it was like there. And they said, well, the nickname for New Jersey is the Garden State, you know. And it's like, huh, I never really thought of that. So there are things that are different. So my culture becomes subordinate to biblical values. And so it talks here that it is that Titus was supposed to speak things which are proper for sound or healthy doctrine, and that is teaching or instruction. There are a lot of things that are taught to people in our modern time, and they are not healthy doctrinally. They're not healthy instruction. So you can see that it's not healthy because it leads to breakdown in relationships. It leads to financial devastation. It leads to physical challenges. It leads to instability. There are a lot of different things. And so when I was a teacher, I taught my students how to live a biblical lifestyle. I said, because if this world continues on the path that it is on, and it has, then you're going to be worth your weight in gold to people who have need of employees. Because if you live honest, you work hard, you're a person of your word, you're going to be highly esteemed. To be a person of character is much more valuable than to be a person who's gifted. So he says that's the way that you are supposed to speak. And he begins in verse number 2 to say that you need to speak things to older men. Now, that would be a category that I would fall into, even though I consider myself young in my mind. I can sometimes write checks that my body can't cash. In other words, I'm not as young as I used to be. So I had traditionally thought of myself, even though there was always people who could hit a golf ball farther than I could, I had traditionally thought of myself of hitting a golf ball, you know, a pretty good distance, and I still can on occasion. But I played in a golf tournament, and I hit the longest drive in our group. It was a four-man scramble. And then I look up at the group behind us, and they had hit their drive 100 yards farther than I'd hit my drive. That's a long way. And when I saw that, I don't remember exactly the course it was. I think I have an idea. But when I saw how far they had hit theirs, I changed my mindset, and I said, I've got to adjust my mindset for this new stage of development in my life. And so there were shots that I started hitting differently because I didn't have the distance that I once had. Can I get some of that back? Sure. Am I going to be able to hit it 350 yards like they did? Probably not. Not even on my best day. So, as we get older, you know, in Acts chapter 2, it talks about old men and young men and men servants and maid servants and all that. Well, what do older men need to be taught? And you might think, you know, that expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you're not a dog. You're a child of the living King. You're a child of the living God. You should be learning all the way up until that time you get promoted into the presence of God. So the first thing that Paul tells Titus is to teach the older men to be sober or to be temperate. And what that means is you need to be able to control yourself mentally. You don't need to go off in a rage. You need to be able to control your emotions and control your thoughts and bring those thoughts into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's the first thing. You've got to be able to renew your mind by being transformed by the image or by the renewing of our mind. Renewing our mind to where we think like a child of God will change our behavior. If you're looking at your life and you see a lot of failures, a lot of carnage in relationships, it's time to allow God to renew our mind. The second one is the word reverent. Titus, teach men to be reverent. Now, as I look at that word, I think of living a life of reverence and worship to God. We are not supposed to delegate worship to the family. We are supposed to lead the family by example. And so if you were to ask me, what is my title? Well, one of my titles is reverend. So it's R-E-V, you know, that's, but you know, I'm not stuck in a bunch of formality. That's really not my personality. I can do things in a very orderly manner. I try and read the room with God as to is this a holy moment right now, or is this something that I can drive this point home with a little bit of humor? How do I honor God in my life? And men are supposed to live honorably. They're supposed to live lives that bring glory to God. Well, as I look up that word, it means that we are supposed to live our life in a manner that is worthy of respect. It not only has to do with how we honor God, but it means it's our responsibility to live a life that makes it easy for our children and for our wife to respect us. So you might hear things where wives, you know, respect your husbands and things like that. And that's their responsibility. But we as men also have a responsibility, and that is to live a respectable life, to be a person that is worthy of respect, that when people look at us, they say, you know what? There's some admirable qualities. Does that mean I'm perfect? Does that mean you're perfect? Absolutely not. But it means that we are doing life the way that God wants us to the best of our ability. And so there are times that we do not stoop down to the behavior others do, but we live a dignified life. Okay? We are ambassadors of God. We are to live a life where people see God and they glorify Him. And so another term that is used, it's translated, is the word honorable. So we should live a worshipful lifestyle. We should live worthy of respect. We should live an honorable life, and we should be living a dignified life so that when people look at us, they are not embarrassed by us, but instead they recognize that God has done a transformative work in us. The other thing is that you are supposed to teach men to be prudent or self-controlled. One of the television genres that I really struggle with, it shows up in commercials, it shows up in sitcoms, it shows up in a lot of different productions that are out there, is that it shows men as being the brute. It shows men as being the non-intelligent ones. It shows that they are to be mocked and made fun of rather than respected. And part of that is because men have, to a great degree, bought into the foolishness of the world's philosophy and says, you don't have to be wise. You can just go and you can do whatever you want to do. One of the other meanings of this is not just prudent, but it means to be self-controlled. And so I remember that I was making a hospital call, and it wasn't, while I was there, I noticed something, and there was a person that was having a health crisis. This didn't have anything to do with anybody in the church. It wasn't a person I knew or anything like that. But when I saw that person, I said to myself, I don't want to live my life out of control. I want to live my life self-controlled. And because of that, I put some steps in place and said, this is what I'm going to do to make sure that my body is not suffering because I do not have self-control. You might need self-control for the things that you eat. You might need self-control for the things that you drink. You might need self-control on how to manage your time. And you definitely need self-control on how to manage your spirit, how to manage your intellect, your mind, your will, your emotions, your finances. You need self-control. Just because you want something doesn't mean you go out and buy it. You show restraint and self-control, and we definitely need that, not to just be a philosophical trait, but something that we display to our family. So the lessons keep coming. I don't know about you, but I think I had about 6 or 7 classes whenever I was in middle school or high school. And so we've talked about older men, that they'd be sober, that they'd be reverent, that they'd be temperate. And here it talks about that they would be sound in faith, that they would have healthy faith, that their faith would show up in a vibrancy. It would not be imbalanced. It would not be unscriptural. It would be healthy degree of faith. We live in a society where the devil will try to get people to live in fear. Men of God are called to live in faith. The just shall live by faith in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith in during the Reformation, and the just shall live by faith in 2025. Men, we need to have confidence in what we believe. You need to be able to explain to your children what you believe. You need to be able to demonstrate through a life that you lead and to teach. You need to live a life that is so sound in faith that people know that they can count on you and that you can count on God. It is a living a life of faith is a full conviction that God is able to do everything he has promised to do. So live a life, and if you don't know how to do that, that's what the church is for. So Church is not just someplace that you go. It should be someplace that you build relationship, where you learn to live the life that God wants you to live. And so he wants us to be sound in faith. I'm going to touch on these other two real quick as well, because not only should we be sound in faith, we should also be sound in love. We should live a life that is known for its unconditional love. The greatest character in the story of the prodigal son is not the youngest son who runs off and wastes his resources. It's not the oldest son who stays and fulfills his duty. The great character in that parable is the father, who loves the youngest son, loves the oldest son, and also loves the business that he's managing. You and I, we need to be known that we have goodwill towards God and goodwill towards people. So I hope that you have a healthy love of God in your life, and a healthy love for your spouse, a healthy love for your family, healthy love for the Word of God. That brings us to the last point that we'll touch on today, and that is you and I need to be sound in patience. Patients are not just people in a hospital. Patience is that we are supposed to be long-suffering, that we are willing to live exactly the way that we need to live until the timing of God for our promise to become a reality comes to pass. A lot of times we can get really impatient. Let me rephrase that. A lot of times I can get really impatient. I'm sure y'all don't, but I do. You know, if you're sitting at a traffic light and somebody's, you know, 18 cars behind the person in front of them because they're paying attention to their cell phone, that causes me to want to give them a little honk, a little nudge, a little reminder, say, hey, you're driving, not texting. You and I, we need to be steadfast. We need to know what it is like to endure the difficult moments, because the great things God has in store for us are worth waiting for. Be sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.